chapter 53, subject matter, Krishna kidnaps Rukmini. Next paragraph. After hearing the statement of Rukmini through the Brahmin, Lord Krishna was much pleased, and he immediately shook hands with the Brahmin and said, "And dear Brahmin, I am very much glad to hear the Rukmini is also as much anxious to marry me as I am also anxious to get her hand. My mind is always absorbed in the thought of the daughter of Smok, and sometimes I cannot sleep at night, always thinking of her. I can understand now that the marriage of Rukmini with Sisupal has been arranged by her elder brother in a spirit of animosity with me. So now I am determined to give good lessons to all these princess. As fire is burnt and utilized after manipulating ordinary woods, similarly, after dealing with these demoniac princess, I shall get out Rukmini, who would assume the prominence of fire after being kidnapped from their midst." Krishna, being informed of the specific date of Rukmini's marriage, he also became anxious to go there immediately. Therefore, he asked his driver, Daruka, to saddle his horses on the chariot and be prepared for going to the kingdom of Vidaruka. Daruka, the driver, just after hearing from Krishna the order of preparing the chariot, he brought the four specific horses of Krishna. In the Padma Purana, the four specific horses' names are also described. One of them, which is named as Swaibha, is of greenish color. The other, which is known as Sugriva, whose color is grayish like the eyes. The other one, which is known as Meghapuspa, its color is just like new cloud. The last one is known as Balahaka. This horse was of ash color. So immediately after receiving order from Krishna, all of them were yoked in the chariot, and the chariot was ready for starting. Lord Krishna, after sitting himself on the chariot, helped the Brahmin to get on the chariot and gave him also seat by his side. Immediately, the horses started from Dwarka to Vidarbha province. Just within one night only, the kingdom of Dwarka, it is still situated in the western India, and the Vidarbha is situated on the northern part of India, a distance of not less than 1,000 miles. But the horses were so much speedy that they could reach within one night, or at most 12 hours only. Next one. The Vidarbha was a province, and the father of Rukmini, King Bhishma, lived in a town which was known as Kundin. Although King Bhishma was not very much enthusiastic to hand over her daughter to Sisupal, but he was obliged to accept the marriage settlement under the pressure of affection for his eldest son, who settled this marriage negotiation. Still, as a matter of duty, he was decorating the city for his marriage ceremony, and was acting in great earnestness to make the marriage ceremony very successful. The whole city was therefore cleaned very nicely, and water sprinkled all over the city. India, the country is being situated in tropical zone, atmosphere is always dry. Therefore, on the streets and roads, there are accumulation of dust. So sprinkling of water is necessary at least once daily. Still, sometimes in big cities like Calcutta, sprinkling of water is done twice in a day. The roads were regularly decorated with different kinds of colored flags and festoons. And in particular crossings of the road, there were erect construction of gates. In this way, the whole city was decorated very nicely. The city began to look very beautiful on account of all the inhabitants being dressed in a nice vast cloth decorated with sandalwood pulp, a pearl necklace, flower garlands, and all men and women were dressed like that. Everywhere there was incense burning, and a good flavor was coming out of different kinds of tents like oguru. Priests and the Brahmins were sumptuously fed, and according to ritualistic ceremony, they were given in charity sufficient wealth and cows. This way, all the Brahmins and priests were engaged in chanting Vedic hymns by the king Bhishma. The king's daughter, Rukmini, was usually exquisitely beautiful, specifically for her a nice setup of teeth was bathed very nicely. Auspicious thread and sacred thread was tied on the wrist of the... Then she was given non-separated long silken cloth for duly covering the lower side and upper side of the body, and was given various types of jewelry for putting on her body. Garnet priest then gave her protection by chanting mantras from Samveda, Rig Vedas, and Jajur Vedas. And after this, learned priests were expert in chanting Atharva Veda, offered oblations in the fire for pacifying influence of different stars. Next paragraph. The king Bhishma was very experienced in the matter of dealing with the Brahmins and the priests when such ceremonies are held. He therefore particularly satisfied the Brahmins by giving them in charity large quantities of gold and silver, grains mixed with molasses, and cows decorated with cloth and ornament. On the other hand, the father of Shishupal, namely Damu Ghosh, in order to invoke auspiciousity of his own son, executed all kinds of ritualistic performances befitting the ceremony. Shishupal's father was known as Damoghosa on account of his superior power to cut down unregulated citizens. Dhamma means cutting down, and Ghosa means famous. So he was very much famous for controlling the citizens. On account of this, he thought also that if Krishna would come and disturb the marriage ceremony, he would certainly cut down him by the strength of his military power. As such, after the auspicious ceremony performed at home, Damo Ghosh took with him a division of soldiers known as Padatsravi. Translate many elephants garlanded with golden necklace, many chariots similarly decorated, and many horses also. A complete military division of the kings are the combination of chariots, elephants, horses, and infantry. It appeared from the arrangement that Damoghos, along with his son and other companions, were going to the city of Kundin in the kingdom of King Vidarbha, not exactly for getting Shishupa, the son of Damoghos, being married, but for the matter of fighting only. When King Bhishma, the ruler of Vidarbha province, understood that Damoghos with his party was arriving, he got out of the city to receive him. And outside the city gate, there were many gardens. After meeting the king from a long distant place, he was welcomed in one of the gardens for residence. It is the system of Vedic marriage that the bride's father receives a big number of bridegroom's party and accommodates them in a suitable place for 2-3 days until the marriage ceremony is duly performed. The bridegroom's party, led by Damoghos, there were thousands of men. Out of them, the prominent kings and personalities were as follows: Jarasandha, Dantabhakra, Vidura, and Pundra. All of them suspected that Krishna might disturb the whole situation, attempting to kidnap the girl, because it was an open secret that Rukmini was first of all meant for being married with Krishna, and thereafter he had eldest brother Rukmi designed to hand her over to Shishupa. And there must have been some whispering rumor about Rukmini sending a messenger to Krishna. So all the men who came on the side of Shishupal were not without fear of Krishna. As such, a military strength was brought there with an idea that if actually Krishna would come, they were prepared to fight with him and rescue the girl to be married with Shishupal only. Krishna should not thus be allowed to take over the girl. The decision was that all of them together would give a nice fight to Krishna. The military flanks which came with them was specifically meant for this expected fight. Krishna, however, started from his home, Dwarka, alone, only on his chariot, accompanied by the Brahmin. This news was received by Sri Balaram, who also heard that the bridegroom's party of Shishupa, they had brought a large number of military strength. So he also suspected that they would attack Krishna, because Krishna had already started there. Under these circumstances, Baladev thought it wise to go there with some party of soldiers to assist Krishna, because there was every possibility of friction. In this way, Balaram, being too much affectionate for his brother Krishna, took out with him a great strength of military ranks consisting of similar chariots, infantry, horses, and elephants. And with his party, he also reached the precincts of the city Kundin. On the other hand, inside the palace, Rukmini, the bride, was always expecting the arrival of Krishna. But without seeing him, and without seeing the Brahmin also, who took her message to Krishna, she became too much full of anxiety. She began to think within herself, just see how much unfortunate I am. There is only now one night in between the marriage day and now, and still neither the Brahmin nor Shyamasundara Krishna has returned. I cannot ascertain any reason for this. She was sometimes little hopeful that the Brahmin has not yet returned. Being full of anxiety, she sometimes began to think that Krishna might have seen some reason of dissatisfaction with me. Therefore, he might not have come and rejected the proposal. The Brahmin also did not come back on being disappointed. In this way, she was thinking various ways and causes of the delay of both Krishna and the Brahmin, although both of them were expected at every moment. She began to think further about the dissatisfaction of demigods like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and demigoddess like Durga. It is generally said that when the demigods are not properly worshipped, they become angry on a particular person. For instance, it's like Indra. When he found that the inhabitants of Vrindavan were not worshipping him, the Indra Yagya was stopped by Krishna, he also became very angry and wanted to chastise the residents of Vrindavan. So, Rukmini was thinking in that way, that because he did not very much worship Lord Shiva or Brahma, they might have become angry. Therefore, they have tried to frustrate my plan. Similarly, Goddess Durga, who is the wife of Lord Shiva, she might have taken the side of her husband. Her husband, Lord Shiva, is known as Rudra. And as such, Rudra's wife is known as Rudrani. Rudrani and Rudra means those who are very much accustomed to put others in distressed condition so that such persons may cry forever. She was thinking of Goddess Durga as the daughter of Himalaya mountain, Girija. Girija means the daughter of the Himalayan mountain. So the Himalayan mountain is very cold and hard. Therefore, she was thinking of Goddess Durga very hard-hearted and cold. In this way, because Rukmini was after all a child at that time, she was thinking in different ways about different demigods on account of his extreme anxiety for seeing Krishna. As the gopis worshipped Goddess Katayani for getting Krishna as a husband. Similarly, Rukmini also, thinking of various types of demigods, not exactly to derive any material benefit from them, but in relationship with Krishna, to pray to the different demigods for achieving the favor of Krishna is not irregular. Actually, Rukmini was fully absorbed in thought of Krishna, thus she pacified herself that the time for arrival of Govinda had not yet expired. She was therefore hoping against hope, and without expressing her mind to anyone, simply shedding tears without being observed by others. And when tears are forcefully coming out of her ears, she closed them in helplessness. When she was deeply in thinking like that, at that time, some auspicious symptoms, different parts of his body appeared. They were trembling of the left eyelids, arms and thighs. When there is trembling of these parts of the body, it is considered very auspicious. Something very lucrative is expected. While she was full of anxiety like this, fortunately, she could immediately see the Brahmin messenger, because Krishna sent him inside the palace in order to let Rukmini know that Krishna has already arrived. Krishna could understand the anxiety of Rukmini, because he is the super soul of all living beings. When Rukmini saw the messenger Brahmin within the palace, and she could understand the auspicious symptoms of her body, the trembling, she became immediately very much engladdened, and with smiling began to inquire from the Brahmin as follows: whether Krishna has already come or not. The Brahmin also confirmed that the son, the Jodi dynasty, Sri Krishna, has already arrived, and he also enthused her that Sri Krishna has promised to carry her away positively without any failure. Lastly, Rukmini was very much encouraged. When the Brahmin gave her the message about Krishna's promise of taking her away, she became so much engladdened that she wanted to give in charity to the Brahmin everything, whatever she possessed. But without finding anything suitable for presenting the Brahmin, she simply offered her respectful obeisances to the Brahmin. The significance of offering respectful obeisances to the superior means that the person who is offering such respect is obliged to the respectful person. In other words, Rukmini gave hints to the Brahmin that she will remain ever grateful to the Brahmin. And anyone who gets the favor of the goddess of fortune in that way must be always happy in material opulences, without doubt. Next, after this, Rukmini's father, King Bhishma, when he heard that Krishna Balaram had also come, being invited by him to see the marriage ceremony of his daughter, she immediately arranged for their proper reception in a suitable garden house along with the soldiers of Krishna and Balaram. As it was a Vedic custom, immediately the king offered to Krishna Balaram honey and fresh washed cloth to receive them. King Bhishma was very much hospitable, not only to Krishna Balaram, or other kings like Jarasandha, who came with the father of Shishupal, he received many other princes and kings according to their respective strength and status quo. Not that all the kings assembled there were equally honored, but they were honored in terms of their respective personal strength, age, prowess, and material possession. This way, when the people in the city of Kundin, of the king of Vidarbha, heard that Krishna Balaram had come there, out of curiosity and anxiety to see them, all of them practically assembled before the residence offered to Krishna and Balaram, and with their eyes fixed up on them, practically began to drink the nectar of their beauty. They offered their silent respect to Krishna Balaram with tears of the eyes, and they satisfied themselves by drinking the nectar of their beautiful presence. And visitors of Krishna, they were very much pleased and considered that he was the suitable match for Rukmi. They began to think within themselves that here is the personality who can be the suitable match for Rukmini, and Rukmini also deserves to have a husband exactly like this. They were so much eager to combine Krishna and Rukmini that within themselves they began to pray to the personality of Godhead, saying, "My dear Lord, if we have got any pious activity, and if you are satisfied with our such kind of heart and kindness, then be merciful on us, and as a result of our pious activity, Krishna and Rukmini may be remarried. Krishna may kindly accept the hand of Rukmini." It appears that Rukmini was a very popular princess, and all the citizens prayed for her best fortune in this way, out of intense love for her. In the meantime, Rukmini also very nicely dressed and guarded by the strong bodyguards, came out of the royal palace to visit the temple of Ambika, or goddess Durga. As mentioned before, this temple of Ambika, or goddess Durga, is the family deity of the Vidarbha royal family. The deity worship within the temple is existent since the very beginning of Vedic culture. There is a class of men who are described as the Durvadarata in the Bhagavad Gita, who put forward the theory that they only believe in the Vedic ritualistic ceremony, but not in the temple worship. Such foolish persons may take note hearing that Krishna's this marriage with Rukmini took place more than 5,000 years ago, and still there was arrangement of temple worship. In the Bhagavad Gita also, the Lord says, "Yanti deva bhata divan," the worshippers of the demigods attain the abodes of the demigods. This means that there were many who worshipped the demigods, and there were many who worshipped directly the Supreme Personality of God. The system of demigods worship was current only for I only, specifically Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Ganesh, Lord Sun God, and Goddess Durga. It is apparent here that written by the royal family, Goddess Durga and Lord Shiva were worshipped. Other minor demigods were worshipped by still lower grade people in the society. But so far, the Brahmins and Vaishnavas are concerned, they simply worship Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of God. The Bhagavad Gita, although the worshipment of demigods is condemned, it is not forbidden, but it is clearly stated that less intelligent class of men, for some material benefit, they go to worship a different kind of demigod. Here, in the case of Rukmini, who is a goddess of fortune, personality, why is she going to worship the goddess Durga? May we explain that goddess Durga was situated in the royal temple for the family deity. So far, Rukmini is concerned, although he was going to visit the temple of goddess Durga, within herself, she was always thinking of the lotus feet of Krishna. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is clearly stated that on her leg, she was proceeding towards the temple of goddess Durga, but within her heart, she was simply thinking of the lotus feet of Krishna. For Rukmini is going to the goddess of Durga's temple, it's not exactly the same as ordinary people do. Ordinary people, they go to the temple of goddess Durga to beg for some material benefit. In the case of Rukmini, the target is Krishna. Even she goes to the temple of demigod, the objective is Krishna. Therefore, it is not equal to the demigod worshipment by common people of less intelligence. And Rukmini was proceeding towards the temple. She was very silent and grave, and just by her side, her mother was there, another young girl friend, and the wife of Brahmins in the center, and surrounded by the royal bodyguard. This system of going to some demigod temple by the would-be bride in marriage ceremony is still current in India. When she was proceeding in such procession, surrounded by friendly women and bodyguards, there were a vibration of various kinds of musical sounds, specifically of drums, concert, bugles of different sizes, known as panop, studio, very. The combined sound was not only auspicious, but very sweet to hear. That's why. While Rukmini was going on this procession, there were hundreds and thousands of the wives of respectable Brahmins who were also dressed very nicely with suitable ornaments, and they wanted to present Rukmini on this occasion. Flower garland, pulp of sandalwood, variety of colorful garments, and to assist Rukmini in the worshipment of Lord Shiva and Goddess Durga. Amongst the wives of the Brahmins who are following in the procession, some of them
were very old ladies, and they knew perfectly well how to chant the prayer of Goddess Durga and Lord Shiva. So they took charge of such prayers before the deity, followed by Rukmini and others. The purpose of the prayers and chanting of the mantras was like this. Rukmini offered prayers to the deity, saying, My goddess, Durga, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you along with your children. It is said that Goddess Durga has four conspicuous children. She has got two daughters, namely the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, and the goddess of learning, Saraswati. And she has got two very famous sons, namely Lord Ganesh and Lord Kartik. And all of them are considered among the demi gods and goddesses. Goddess Durga is always worshipped along with her famous children. Therefore, Rukmini specifically says, My goddess Durga, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you with your children. But her prayer was different. Ordinary people go to Goddess Durga and pray for material wealth, fame, profit, friends, and so on. But what Rukmini prayed for was for Krishna. She prayed to the deity that the deity may be pleased on her and give her blessings upon her so that Krishna may become her husband. Therefore, Rukmini is worship of demigod. Praying for Krishna becoming her husband is not condemned. While Rukmini was offering her worshipment to the goddess of Durga, there were varieties of ingredients planted before the goddess. Three of which are mentioned as follows. Water, different kinds of sand, different kinds of incense, different kinds of garments, different kinds of garlands, different kinds of foodstuffs prepared with ghee, just like puri, kachori, like that. Different kinds of fruits, different kinds of sugarcane, betel nuts and spices. With great devotion, offering one after another, Rukmini worshipped the deity just to the regulative principles directed and guided by the old Brahmin lady. After finishing this ritualistic ceremony, the old Brahmin lady offered the remnants of puttha to Rukmini as prasadam, and Rukmini also accepted them with great respect. And after accepting, she offered her obeisances to the Brahmin lady as well as to the deity Goddess Durga. In this way, after finishing the worshipment business, Rukmini caught hold of the hands of her young girlfriend, and it was seen that her fingers were decorated with nice jewel rings, and accompanied by them, she came out of the temple. After all the princes and visitors who came in the city of Kundin to see the marriage ceremony of Rukmini, they also assembled on the temple outside to see Rukmini, how she was looking. The princess especially were very much eager to see her, because every one of them expected, or at least imagined, to have Rukmini as divine. Therefore, when they saw Rukmini in that position, they were simply struck with wonder. They thought it that Rukmini was especially manufactured by the Creator to present the bewilderment for all the great Shivala's princess. Her body was well constructed, the middle portion of her body being thin, her feet being high, beauty of the tail was increased on account of different kinds of wearing. The age was just approaching a youthful, and on the back side there was a jewel locket hanging on her feet. On the whole, they saw the bodily luster and beauty of Rukmini as if painted by a nice artist, following the description of a great poet. The matter of perfectional presentation of beauty, the description of the breast of Rukmini is described just a little bit high. That means she was not more than 13 to 14 years old, just in the beginning of youthhood. In other words, her beauty was specifically drawn to attract the attention of Krishna. Her hairs on the head were little scattered, eyes were very restless, and the complete beautiful feature of the body of Rukmini was thus looked over by all the princes present. But in spite of her exquisite, beautiful feature of the body, she was not at all proud, and she was smiling very simply, like an innocent girl, and her teeth were visible just like grains of pomegranate or kundo flower. The lips were pinkish color, and while she was returning home, she was not going very fast, because every moment she was expecting Krishna to take her away. That was her inner intention. She was proceeding very slowly. She was stepping her legs very slowly, just like a full-grown swan. While she was proceeding like that, the ankle bells were also sounding very mildly. That was a great pure and chivalrous princess who assembled there by seeing Rukmini's beauty, all at once almost became unconscious. As already explained, Rukmini's beauty being bewilderment for them, all of them became immediately lusty and were hopeless to get the hand of Rukmini, comparing their own beauty with her. Srimati Rukmini was not interested in any one of them. She was simply expecting Krishna, and in her heart, her attractive smiling, restless eyebrows were so much charming. While the princess came down from the elephant and horses, broken by the beauty of Rukmini Devi, she was going forward step by step, expecting every moment Krishna to come and carry her away. She also once looked upon the princess on the plea of adjusting the ornament on her left hand finger. And suddenly she saw Krishna also was present amongst the princess. Although she did not see Krishna before that time, still, as she was always thinking of Krishna within her heart, there was no difficulty for her to recognize Krishna amongst the other princely order. Krishna also immediately took the chance of picking up Rukmini on his chariot, which was marked with a flag wrapping by the photo of Garuda. Krishna, without taking care of all the princes present there. Immediately, God has seated on his chariot and began to proceed slowly without any fear. Immediately, Balaram also appeared on the scene with the soldiers of Yuga dynasty, and Rukmini was taken away exactly like the lion takes away his fear from the meat of the jackal. When Rukmini was in position of Krishna, the chariot began to proceed slowly without any fear of all the opposing elements. Amongst the opposing princes, there was Jarasandha, who had already experienced many times defeat from Krishna, began to roar, how is that? Krishna is taking away Rukmini from us without any opposition. Then what is the value of our becoming chivalrous fighter with arrows? And we are princess. Just look, we are losing our reputation in this action. It is just like the jackal is taking away the booty of the lion. That's where. That ends the Bhaktivedanta Samarpan of 53 chapter in the matter of Krishna kidnapped Rukmini.